Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Challenges of Faith. I'm Gary McCants. Tonight's guest is Christy D., also known as Diane Williams. Christy is an author and the CEO of Christy Collections, LLC. Christy, welcome to Challenges of Faith.
Thank you, Gary. I am grateful and honored to be a guest.
It's a humble honor to have you on as well. Christy, first and foremost, how are you and your children?
I am blessed, and so are my children. My children are doing very well. My oldest daughter, Brittany, is working on a clothing line called Beautifully Scarred. My second oldest daughter, Brandy, opened a men's clothing store in a local mall in Cincinnati, Ohio,
wow,
called Two Lie. My son Jared is working on a moving company, and my youngest daughter Jade is working on a music career. She raps and she sings.
Wow. Boy, a whole blessed family. Wow.
Yes.
And I'm sure that the listeners in that area will make sure that they go by and visit and purchase. Christy, before we head your sojourn, leading to your inspirational journals and business, your educational degrees are in what areas?
I have an associate's degree in science technology, a bachelor's degree in liberal arts, and a master's degree in social worker with a social work licensure.
All right. You know, in looking at your background, when you volunteered, did you enjoy mentoring, and if so, why?
Yes, I enjoy volunteering with the local YMCA, and so with that, I provide, and also I do one-on-one mentoring with high school students. So through the Y, I'm able to provide assistance to children in the grades 7 through 12, providing them with some college readiness. It's called the Black and Latino Achievers Program. And then I also volunteer the one-on-one mentoring through a organization called the Cincinnati Youth Collaborative. So I mentor, she's going into the 12th now. She was in 11th when I started. So I mentor a 12th grader. I enjoy it because I'm able we go out on outings, answer any questions, just provide some encouragement and positivity. She had questions about going to college and furthering her education after high school. And so I'm blessed to be able and grateful to be able to do that through those two organizations.
As a result of your educational attainment, you've been applying your gained knowledge to your current employment role. Listener, Christy is known as an energetic individual with over 16 years of experience providing case management, completing psychosocial assessment, providing community resources and referrals in a variety of organizational settings, and working with diverse populations. Christy, what type of research do you conduct?
Well, I've been with the company I'm with for almost 7 years now. The company name is CareSource. It's one out of the 5 managed Medicaid companies in Ohio. And I've been in several roles. And one of my roles I want to touch on, infant mortality is huge in Ohio. Cincinnati, Ohio. And so in one of my roles, I work for maternal child in the maternal child program, and the goal was to assist with reducing infant mortality rate, working in collaboration with community partners. So making sure the community partners were aware of CareSource member benefits and services. One of the services was called the Babies First Program, which offers a monetary incentive for pregnant women to attend their prenatal, postpartum, and well baby visits, and just making sure that they are just aware of all the benefits that are offered to members. And then that way the providers can then educate the members and they can get the most assistance if needed and the most out of their benefits. In my current role, I was saying in my current role, I am now Select Care Source, but it's a different role. And so I assist with quality improvement initiatives for our members with the providers.
If we go back from the research, what organizations, if you're able, do you assist?
Some of our the collaboration are our community partners. There's an organization called Cradle Cincinnati. There's an organization called HCAN, Healthcare Access Now, and they work primarily with pregnant women and then with all of our providers. So we collaborate with all of our providers if there is any type of need, such as, for example, transportation. The managed Medicaid companies will provide a certain amount of transportation to and from medical appointments. So I'm like a liaison. I'm that middle person that connects our members with their services through the providers.
Listeners, you're hearing a lead-in to where Christy has come from, starting with the blessed children, blessed herself, educational background and attainment, putting it into practice, research, partnerships, policy. Christy, after you have identified barriers to care completion, how do you go about improving quality of lives?
Well, the main goal is to always make sure that our providers, like I stated before, are aware of the benefits and services offered to CareSource members. Then the providers will be able to educate the members, and education is the key. So they are aware of what they have and what they can utilize. We are able to also work together, then allows us to work together to ensure that our members receive the best care and address their needs. We have teams of people, of social workers, counselors, nurses, LPN, non-clinical staff that all work together and are aware of the community resources that are available to our members. So if they don't know, we make sure that internally also we educate our members about resources and point them in the direction of needed resources such as water or gas and electric, things of that nature.
Knowledge, equal understanding, all applying for unified purposes to help the client. Christy, in life, when individuals become successful, a lot of times the listeners, audience, followers, mentees are unaware of the struggles which led to being successful or victorious. Christy, how did your childhood begin, leading to you needing, a very powerful word, to survive?
Well, Gary and listeners, I was molested by a family member when I was younger. My father left my mother when I was about 12 and decided he didn't want to take care of his four children. I was youngest out of the four. My mother was unemployed at the time, so therefore we went from having everything provided, food, clothing, attention, to having minimal food, clothing, and attention. Because my mother had to deal with how she was going to take care of four children. Four children who were not small. So I am 5'8", and I'm the shortest of the four. When I was in the 11th grade, I got pregnant. When I was in the 12th grade, I got pregnant. So I had two children before I graduated high school that I had to care for. I was in a domestic violence relationship with the father of my two children, and those are my two oldest children I referenced earlier, who also did not assist with taking care of them. I was suicidal. And then I got pregnant again and had twins at the age of 25 by another guy who refused to help take care of the kids. So I was then taking care of four children at the age of 25, which left me in a situation where I had to utilize the welfare system. So I had food stamps, Section 8, daycare vouchers, and cash assistance. During the time that I utilized welfare, I was in college. I had to take three Metro buses just to get my first two children to daycare when I was 19, when I first entered into college, and then catch a college transit bus to get me to college. And then at the end of the day, I had to do the same thing, go pick up my kids, get on three buses to make it home. It took me 3 years to get an associate's degree, and it was a two-year program. So once I got my associate's degree, came the welfare reform. So if you work, they said, then you can't get any more cash assistance. But in my mind, I wasn't done with school because I knew an associate's degree would not be able to assist me with taking care of four kids by myself. But I had to get a job. So I did. So I became a correction officer, making about $9 an hour, but the benefits were good. I was a correction officer at our county jail. Benefits were good, and I was still able to get some food stamps and utilize Section 8, and I was working. But it was still in my spirit. I needed to get back to school because I knew I needed a higher education. So one day I was riding to work, and I heard a commercial. And the commercial was about a weekend degree program through a local college called Xavier University. I received my associate's degree from University of Cincinnati. Xavier University weekend degree program. And I said, I'm going to look into that because I wanted to go back to school. So what I did, I looked into it, and I ended up I was on second shift when I started down at the jail. I went to third shift so that I can go to the weekend degree program. And that was a Saturday all day. I had to go all day to get my bachelor's degree in liberal arts. And it took me a year and a half to do that. They accepted the majority of my credits for my associate's degree, and I got my bachelor's degree in a year and a half. So then I started working again. And this speaks to what you had mentioned earlier as far as being in the community and some of the things I've done. I started off actually, Gary, in Children's Services. So I was a Children's Service intake worker for our local Children's Services, which is called 241 Kids in Eddy, Ohio. So that's where I actually began my career as far as being in the community and providing assessments and community resources and things of that nature. So I did that, and I had went through several jobs when I got with, it was Hamilton County Jobs and Family Services. And I also worked with, once I did the intake, I did that for about a year and a half. And then I moved into a position of foster care support worker. So I supported our foster parents who had the foster kids in their homes. And then I moved into an area working with pregnant women. So I was able to work with young pregnant women, providing resources, making sure they had transportation to and from their appointments, and addressing any needs that they had. And then from there, I still needed a higher education. So I had my associates. I had my bachelor's. I was making a little more money, but it just wasn't enough for me to be able to live the way that I wanted to live and provide for my kids the way that I wanted to provide. And I always wanted to get my master's degree. That was my goal. It was a goal, and I had to achieve it. So once I left Hamilton County Jobs and Family Services, probably about 6 years later, I applied for the master's program at the University of Cincinnati Social Work Department School. And I entered into that program. And it took me 2 years to get my master's degree. And then from there, a year after, I took a test, had to take a test, and I received my licensure, social work licensure. So that is my journey through receiving my education. So it took me over 10 years to get my master's degree in social work.
Your sojourn started one way, and if the listeners, and I know they are listening to you, the past led towards the future, where I know with your spirit, where you've applied it to the individuals you've come in contact with, trying to help out their future so that they know they don't have to stay where they are or go backwards. Christy, you share why you attended college and obtained your degrees. Have you been able to impact the lives of young moms and women and help them overcome obstacles?
I believe so. However, I don't think I knew at the time that I was doing that. But I always try my best in any job that I have to be honest and transparent with the populations that I serve.
You know, I remember one time I had an exec, and I would share with him. I remember one time in our meeting, and the co-directors were sitting there, and I wanted to make it clear how I felt, felt my role were as a servant. And I remember him indicating that he was not, and I had to respectfully and humbly remind him that we all are servants to the people that we've been led to help. Christy, what role has God played in your journey?
Well, that's another thing, too. I didn't realize that God was playing a role through that journey, but he was, because had he not, I am clearly a statistic. I am clearly a person that could have been addicted to drugs, to sex, addicted to alcohol, addicted to smoking cigarettes, addicted to smoking weed, addicted to anything that would prevent me or cause a barrier to getting my education and to taking care of my children. But I didn't realize that at the time.
How and why did you form Christy Collections, LLC?
Well, there's a story behind that, too. So, Christy is my first name. And my mom called us by our middle name. So, Diane. She didn't call us by our first name. She called three of us by our middle name. And so we would be young and we'd go to school and the teachers would call me Christy, and I would go up and say, my name is Diane. My name is Diane. So I didn't want to be called Christy. My name is Diane because she called me Diane. So as I got to the place that I am now, and I'll tell that backstory, but as I got to this place, I'm a different person. So I used Christy instead of Diane. And I want to have a collection of inspirational products. So, Christy, collections, and collections is spelled with a K. So that's how I came up with the name. That's just using my first name. And then how it all started was I was sick and tired of being angry, just angry, angry and miserable. Even though I got my degrees and I worked and I took care of these kids, I still was angry. I wasn't happy. I felt no peace, but I was just able to still attain my goals. But I was angry, and I was so okay. So I attained my goals. So now what? I'm still angry, still focusing on anger, and I didn't want that anymore. So I started looking up, and I said, God, I'm tired of being angry. I just want some peace. I'm tired. I'm tired of being angry. And as I was looking up, and a lot of people don't look up, but if you look up, the sky is like a picture. It is a portrait. It is beautiful. The clouds are beautiful. The sun is beautiful. The sky, sometimes I call it doing, the clouds will do fancy dance, where there's just all these swirls. And I mean, it's beautiful, whether I'm on the ground or I'm flying. I just started noticing, and I was in awe of the beauty. There's times when the sun will light the sky up in all these beautiful colors. Some parts of the clouds will be colored. Some parts of the sky won't be blue. And you just think, how is that possible? You know, and I just started looking up. And then I started feeling peace. And then so I started taking pictures using my iPhone. I started taking pictures. When I fly, I take pictures. When I'm on the ground, I take pictures. When I walk, the trees are strong. The leaves are beautiful. Everything just, my eyes were just starting to this beauty that I never, ever paid attention to. Ever. And I start feeling a little more peace. I start feeling a little more tranquil, and it felt good. So sometimes I would share with my family, and sometimes I would just go through my photos and just look and just, you know, I did it. It started for me, basically, Gary. It started for me, and then I met this lady. I had never had a mentor ever in life. No one said, Diane, I'm going to take me on none of my employment. Diane, I'm going to take you under my wing. This is what you need to do. We're going to do it. You should do it. Nothing. I never had that. Now, I've had people, positive people, come into my path, and I didn't realize it at the time, but I never had anyone really take me under their wing. So I met this lady, and her name is Sonya Jackson Miles, and she has a program called Sister Accord. And this is the first time that someone provided some encouragement. So I went through, she looked at my photos. She said, those are beautiful. She said, I said, but I just take them with my phone. She said, I take pictures with my phone and they don't come out like that. Those are beautiful. You should take my dream walking program. And so I did. And a good friend of mine always says there are no coincidences. She calls them God incidences. That means people are put in the place when they're supposed to be put in that place for you. I would have your listeners here all day because there's a backstory to meeting Sonya Things aligned the way they were supposed to. Okay, but I will tell the story how I met Sonya. A good friend of mine, friend was coming in town, and she said, Diane, I want you and your husband to come up and meet her. She's my best friend. I want you to come meet her. And I said, okay. She said, I'm cooking. I want you to come meet her. I said, okay. So the day comes. My husband was out of town, but he was coming in town that day, and I was like, well, I was telling my coworker, my friend. I said, well, Larry's not here. Y'all just go ahead. You know, that's your best friend. Y'all just have fun, you know. And she said, no, I want you to meet her. You know, we were real good. She said, no, Diane, I want you to come up, and I want you to meet her. And I said, okay. So Larry came in town, and I said, you want to go? He said, sure. So we went up, and her friend is awesome. Her friend is her name is Tracy, and her husband came, and we met him, and we stayed, and we played games. Well, Tracy wanted to hit Papa Do's. There's a Papa Do's here in Cincinnati, and she wanted to go to Papa Do's the next day, and so they asked us to come and meet them at Papa Do's as she and her husband were heading out of town, back out of town, back home. And so I said, sure. Well, not knowing, Tracy knows Sonya, because they worked together on the Disney Dreamers Academy, because Tracy works for Disney, and had told Sonya to meet as well because she wanted to see her because she was in, not knowing. So Sonya shows up, and I had already done research on her. Me and my husband looked her up because she was telling Tracy was telling us about the program. And so I looked her up, and I'm always trying to connect. My husband works at in a high school, so I'm always trying to connect. And she has this great program that connects folks, and it's about sisterhood. And so we had already looked her up, and so we're asking her to tell us about herself. She was like, no, no, no. She's in my, no, well, I just came. And we're like, well, we're done eating, so tell us about you. You know, we were trying to force it out of her, and she eventually did. Well, come to find out, she wasn't going to come because she did the same thing I did today to Tracy. Like, well, no, y'all eating lunch. Just and Tracy was like, no, I want you to come. Come to Papa Do's. And she came. We would never have connected. It was, I never, Sonya lives in Cincinnati, never heard of her program, never heard of her. So it was a God incident. And so that's how I met Sonya. And it was blessings for Sonya as well as for me because she got connected to the high school where her program is in high school. She took me through her dream walking program. She's a spiritual woman. And at the end of her dream walking program, she prays before she has a one-on-one. And she prayed and she said, Diane, I had a vision of people writing on your beautiful photos. That's all she said to me, like in a journal. She said in a journal, writing on your beautiful photos. And I didn't know what to do with that. So I prayed and prayed and prayed. And that's how my first journal was created. And I know you're going to go into more detail about that. But, and that's how I decided to name the business Christie's Collections, because you have to, you know, once you find your purpose and it turns into a business, then you have to start researching and doing all that back, all that leg work to make it work.
That's right.
And so I'll stop there so you can take me into another area.
Oh, it's okay. Hey, this is your program, your story. Christie, why is your inspirational photograph so important to you, even though you alluded to it? But why is it so important to you and for your clients?
It's important to me because I always pray and I always ask for guidance and I always ask for visions. So anything that I take a picture of, for me, it's from God. And so then I'm sharing it. And I just want others to, if I can help someone find some sort or some sense of peace, that's what I'm trying to do. That's what I want to do.
You've also written inspirational journals. It's okay. What are their titles? And how have you intertwined them with your photographs?
Okay. So my first journal that I alluded to earlier is called Peace and Love Through Self-Awareness. It's an inspirational journal. And in the journal, it's 132 pages. with my photo watermarked on the page, and I prayed every day for inspirational messages and quotes. So there's an inspirational quote at the bottom of each page, as well as a small photo in the top left corner of each page of the photo that is watermarked. So that in my story is in this journal as well. And each page, including the front cover and the back cover, are pictures that I took. And everything that I do is purposeful. So I pick the right pictures with the right quotes to speak to people and to provide some peace. And then from there, I created my second edition journal, which is called Self-Awareness, the Key to Success. From the front cover to the back cover are all my pictures. But what I did with this one, it's just a spinoff of my first edition. I took out some photos, some pages, and I revised it with 5 perforated pages that you can rip out and you can put up around the home. Because I started thinking, people need continuous inspiration, because I do. I write messages and I put them up around the house. So I made 5 of the pages perforated so you could tear out. It has an inspirational quote on it, and you can place it around the house once again or wherever you want, purposeful of the ones that I perforated. And then I added some different sections. So one of the sections is called Let Go and Release. The pages following are blank. It gives you instructions, and that's where you can write all of your baggage, your garbage, whatever makes you angry or you want to get rid of. And then when you're ready to get rid of it, tear out the page and tear it up and bury it, throw it away, flush it, whatever you want to do with it, let it go. And then the next section is aspiration and goals. So write down your aspiration, your dreams, your goals, and then the next couple of pages has you thinking about your short-term. Write down 3 short-term goals and the steps, and then write down 3 long-term goals and the steps. And then the next section, you create a vision board. And that's something my mentor, Sonia, took us through the dream walking. So I give you instructions on how to create a vision board, because you need to continuously be seeing your vision and putting it out there and writing it down. Now, it's still a journal, so you still journal in the beginning. You still have pages to journal, but I wanted to add a little extra to maybe get some people over a hump, or some of the younger children as well, young adults, you know, get them over the hump, write it out. And then my third journal that I have is I started thinking about children. How, working in the areas that I've worked in and thinking about some of the children and thinking about myself, how can we help these children in the trauma that they experience? We can't stop the trauma, but maybe we can do something to help them cope and deal with the trauma. And so I started thinking about, what could I do? How can I get them to write and get it out at a young age? So I created my third journal, and it's called My Children's Interactive Activity Book and Journal, Creative Fun for Everyone. So it's a journal that's full of color activities. I use pictures that I took of animals to try to get them to talk about their feelings. And I even put different situations in the journal. But it's just, and then each throughout the journal are inspirational messages and quotes. And then I created stickers at the end of those inspirational messages and quotes. And it's just fun. It's just something to get them active and encouraged and different activities in there. But I have to say, Gary, I have to go back, because after I finished my first journal and I got a little discouraged, I had become complacent and I didn't do anything. So that was in 2016 when I created my first journal. and I just sat down after a few purchases. I just became discouraged, and I said, why do I have to do this? Why do I have to do this? There's journals already out there. Why do I have to do it, God? I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. I'm tired. I don't want to do it. And so then I would battle with myself. And so I met with one of my good friends, and she had never seen my journal. It was in 2016, middle of 2016, we met. And she had given her my journal prior to us meeting. And she looked at me, and she said, Diane, she said, I love this. She said that she was molested by a family member when she was young. And she, and then I started talking about my children's journal. She said, that would be awesome. And so just based off her conversation, she lit a fire in my spirit because I was just didn't want to do it. I just said, I'll work until I retire. I'll just work my job until I retire. And she lit a fire in my spirit. And that's when I started working on both journals, the second edition and the children's journal. And I completed them in 2017. So by the end of 2017, they were completed. And it was really, I'm telling it, thanks to her, her encouragement, because I lost it. I lost the encouragement, and I was battling with myself. So that's how the three journals were created.
So God, who knew you, knows you, created you, knew where you were, knew where you come from, instrumentally made sure that different individuals came into your life at the right time to keep you moving forward, not just for you, but for others that you're going to impact, have impacted, and will be impacting. Christy, what organizations are enjoying the inspirational journals?
Well, Job Corps is one of the organizations that purchased actually the first edition and the second edition journal. So I was excited about that. I also, a company, a small company in Columbus, Ohio called Alvis, it's a nonprofit, purchased a couple of journals from me. So I was excited about that. Of course, family and friends purchased the journals. I just completed my second edition, so that went to Job Corps, but not quite yet to family and friends. My photos, actually, I took some photos for, it's called Artisan John Kendall Home. It's in Cincinnati, in the Ohio area, and I 15 of my photos were featured in a Homorama home. So anyone who's familiar with Homorama, one of my goals and visions was to have my photos in a Homorama home. Well, my mentor, Sonia, lived across the street from one of the biggest builders in the Homorama. And because of her, I was able to get my photos in a Homorama home. And they purchased the home and told the builder, we want the photos included in the contract. In that particular, there were two homes. In that particular home, there were 12 that were in that home. So the home was purchased, and so that was exciting. And then I reached out to this nonprofit organization called the Foundation of Photo Art and Hospitals. And what she does, she created this foundation to provide inspiration and healing photos in hospitals throughout the world. And so one of my photos went to two hospitals through this foundation. So you donate your photos, and then she gets them made, and she sends them out to hospitals to help, you know. And then a few of my photos are at the Funny Bone in Liberty Township, Ohio, in the green room where the comedians go before they come out on stage. So excited about that as well.
You should be. And those comedians should be at peace before they go on and have fun at the same time.
Exactly. That's my goal, always.
Earlier, we touched on your volunteer mentoring. What impact are you having with the teenagers at the Cincinnati Public Schools?
Well, one thing that I've done through my husband's school, Schroeder, and it's also my mentee attends that school, and that's how I became a mentor to her. Every year he puts on a women's empowerment program for the high school students, and twice I have spoken to a group. So what they do, they have a main speaker, and then they break out into sessions. And so I was one of the speakers in the small session. And we talk about hygiene, workforce, but I also threw in my story, and as well as all that, those other things that they need, and provided some encouragement. And then for my mentee, I think I'm doing pretty good with her. I share all my stuff with her. She shares information with me. She's a senior now. And just providing, just having someone to talk to. She has some brothers, brother with a developmental disability, so that sometimes, and she's the oldest, and sometimes her mom has to focus on him and the younger brother.
Mm-hmm.
So just providing her someone to talk to and some encouragement and some guidance. So I think I make an impact. At least I hope.
Listeners, again, tonight's guest is Christy D. Diane Williams. In her own words, her goals are to encourage and inspire others to tell their story, find their purpose and source of strength. And I know you've been listening because you heard her start off her sojourn as relates to her family, her children, how they're moving forward. You also heard her talk about what happened at home within the family, but you also heard her talk about her beloved mom, her mom as relates to using her middle name. You heard her talk about standing up for that middle name, Diane, with her teacher at school. But you also heard Christy continue to talk about her purpose of moving forward with school. Talked about the associate's degree. Even though it took extended time, she made it. She also talked about continuing on bachelor's, master's, continuing on to mentor, be all she have a right to be. She was real, continues to be real. She talked about what happened in a personal relationship. But through it all, you see how God was purposeful also, allowed her to find that man, that partner in her life that supports her, that allow both of them to continue forward as one. You're also listening to the fact of her looking up, and that's what we all should be doing, looking up, knowing who have their hands on our life. But she looked up and she saw for her an inspiration as relates to the sky, causing her to begin to photograph, leading her to be inspirational not only for all of us, but for herself. But she continued to be real because she stood still. And while standing still, God still had his hands on her, allowing someone that was important to and for her journey to come along and cause her, I'm sure, with tough love to move forward. And then allowed another person to come along to continue to do the same, allowing Christy to be able to, not only on her job, but with high schoolers to have an impact in their life. And one day she'll know not just here on earth, but while here on earth, she continues to encourage and inspire others to tell their story, to find their purpose and source of strength. Christy, how can the listeners purchase your inspirational journals and photographs?
Please visit my website at Christy Collections, KristyKollections.com. And at the right hand top of my website, there's a shop button. If you click on that shop button, it will take you to my soul. Gary, I don't just have journals. I have now created two more products with some more products coming. And so I have some shower curtains, a children's shower curtain and an adult shower curtain. Yeah. So I created a shower curtain with children in mind, and that has my the inspirational quotes along with some education on it. And adult shower curtain with one of my pictures and then words, inspirational words, real big and bold. And I got two more coming, and I'm working on another children's for a different age set. So I got some T-shirts I'm working on with my inspirational messages. So I am continuously getting visions. And when I get visions, I act on it because they're coming for a reason. Because people ask me, how did you come up with a shower curtain? I said, well, I got a vision for it. And I'm always thinking, where are people?